Aren't you glad for the cross? But aren't you glad for the empty tomb? The cross does nothing if it's not an empty tomb. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to 1 John. It's back almost to the end of the New Testament, just before the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Jude, Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at some verses, several places in the book of 1 John. It's not a big verse, a big book here. And look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Appreciate you all being here. Appreciate our visitors. We have folks who are in town because of family. We've got people out of town because of family. But we're glad that you're here and having a good day today. 1 John 5, 10. And we'll read through verse 15. 1 John 5, 10 says, "And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Says there's something happening. There's testimony. There's evidence, if you will. He says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." If you just not believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to die for our sins, you're really just calling God a liar. That's what he's saying there. Verse 11. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's pretty clear. We want to make sure we understand this. It says it from both sides. Okay, if you're saved, you have the Son of God living in you. Because if he dwelleth not in you, you're none of his. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. The mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ comes in. If you don't have him, you're not saved. Now, if you have him, that means you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And he likes to keep things clean when he lives in your house. He likes to keep things where they're supposed to be. And so he's going to be speaking to your heart. He's going to be trying to mold you and make you into what Christ wants you to be. And so you've got this witness inside your heart. Now, listen, if you have the Son of God, you've got life. So not only does he come in and help you be what we're supposed to be this time, but we have life. We don't have death. We're born dead in sins and trespasses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We are born separated from God. We are headed for hell. That's where we're born. But he says, listen, we have the Son, we have life. So he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," watch, "know that ye have eternal life." We don't have a due religion. We have a done religion. Now, we haven't done it. God did it all on the cross. Everything. He died for every sin you have ever committed and ever will commit. He has already died for those sins. It's a done religion. It's not a due religion. Now, wait a minute. He said, "I write these things that ye may know, that you 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 know you have eternal life." Do you know that you have eternal life without a shadow of a doubt? Do you know that for sure? Because listen, if it's up to me, I'm going to mess up. Listen, God knows who I am, and he when he died for me, he died for all that I am. I've often said here, you know, when you start having babies, you might as well just say, "I forgive you for the rest of your life." Go ahead and tell your kids, "I forgive you for the rest of life." Because you better, because if you're not, you're going to kill them. And even when you think you got them grown up and they're what they're supposed to be, they're still going to do something. You thought, where did that come from? I forgive you for the rest of life. When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave us for the rest of our lives. All of it. He says, "I write these things, ye may know that ye have eternal life." And last part of verse 13, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And we say, "Well, that sounds redundant." No, he's saying, listen, I know that I have eternal life, but listen, I'm not dead yet. And I'm not looking to go in the next load. And so I've got some time between now and the time I go to heaven. Well, how am I going to live? In belief in the Son of God. He's the one that's going to get me through. I can know that I have eternal life, but that I can also believe in him. I can trust in him. I can put my faith in him to get me from here to heaven when the time comes. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. See, that's exactly what he's saying. Not only do I have eternal life, but I can have life more abundant here. But according to his will, not according to Sterling's will, not according to your will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not my righteousness, not your righteousness, his righteousness, according to his definition of righteous. Verse 14, this is a confidence. We have confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to live in a way you know that God's going to take care of us? We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk on this, living a resurrected life. Living a resurrected life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for giving us a great day. Thank you for Resurrection Day. Not just the resurrection day was that 2,000 years ago or so. But Lord, we thank that we can celebrate it year after year after year. That first day of the week when they came to the tomb. The tomb was empty. And the angel said, hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's alive. And Lord, we don't have to live among the dead. We can live among the living. And I thank you so much that we can have eternal life. And that eternal life begins the day we receive Christ as our Savior. So Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here this morning. Help me, Lord, I need your Spirit to help me to explain this. Make it clear to me as I make it clear to them. You make it clear to them as I speak. And Lord, to be one who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Maybe today's the day of their salvation. Thank you so much for what you've done in the lives of a lot of folks here around here. Thank you for the baptism here this morning. Folks taking stand for Christ. And Lord, speak to us. We need you. In Christ's name, amen. In 1 John 3:14, we're going to be a lot of different places here. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. And then it gives some reasons. It says, we've passed from death unto life. Listen to it. That's a done deal. Listen. We could say here in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You could say, he that hath not the Son is dead. If he has not life, he's what? Dead. Right? He that hath not the Son is dead, and he that has the Son is not dead anymore. Now, how do we know that we have the Son and no longer dead? Well, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, this is at the end of the letter, that this epistle here that John wrote. All these chapters were in big letters, you know. Some people write big letters. You ever get an email that's things, you know, page after page after page? Well, John didn't have email, but he wrote a long letter here. And he's got several things throughout this letter that's going to explain to us and help us understand if we have eternal life. You say, well, I prayed. Well, that's good. But with the heart, man believes on the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made in salvation. Okay, you can pray, and that's good. But how do we know that it has really happened? Well, there's some things that he's going to give us. You know the story of the raising of Lazarus. As Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, he had a discussion with Lazarus' sister, Martha. And she knew that Lazarus would be resurrected one day, but Jesus said, there's a resurrection for today. In John 11, you can turn to if you want to, but I'm not expecting you to, but John 11:20 says this. Jesus was talking to Martha. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now think about that. How could Jesus tell Martha that those that believe in him would never die? Now Lazarus already believed in him, but he was dead. He was a believer and he had died. Not only once, but he would eventually die a second time. So you say, how can Jesus say that he that believeth shall never die? Excuse me. What Jesus was referring to was the soul, the real person, the mind, the will, the emotions, the body. Listen, our body right here is just the vehicle in the house. It's our motorhome, if you will. Some of us are big as motorhomes, but it's a motorhome to maneuver around in this physical world. I hope my next vehicle is kind of a Maserati Ferrari type. Right now I'm in a Volkswagen Bug, just kind of round. But anyway, he says the soul, the real you, this is just the vehicle, just the house, the soul, the real person is dead until it is made alive in Christ. God told Adam, said, the day that thou eatest thereof, that basically sin of the tree, thou shalt surely die. Well, he didn't keel over. It wasn't like it was poison that keeled over. What died? What died was a relationship between him and God, the separation from God for eternity. But what did he do? God shed blood to pay for his sin so he would not be dead. So the soul is dead until it is made alive in Christ. Now, once the soul is saved by trusting Jesus as Savior, the soul is made alive, and watch, will never die. It will never be separated from God. In other words, there's no hell for that person. This also means that those that are saved are already alive. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior, your soul is already alive. In fact, we've talked about before, we're a body, soul, and spirit. We have a physical body, we have a spiritual body, but the really one that we have is the soul. That's us. So our soul communicates with this world through our physical body. Our soul communicates with God through our spiritual body, if you will. But that comes alive in Christ. We have a quickening spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us alive in Christ. It's like flipping on the switch. It's like we could be taught. We have the ability, so to speak, to talk to God, but the current is dead. There's no contact. But when Jesus comes in, we are made alive in Christ. And now we have that access to all that God is. So that means that those of us who are saved are already alive in Christ, even though we're still living on earth. We have, if you will, a resurrected life that we can live. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, but are alive in Christ. We have been born again from above. We no longer have to live like the rest of the dead people in the world. We're a new creation. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The folks, I hope you have that settled. Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, every single one of us, were born dead in sins. For by one man the sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. But Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can be alive and have a relationship with God, not by just simply repeating a prayer, though that's, if you know what you're talking about, that's a great vehicle to do it. But by trusting what Jesus Christ did. When he died on that cross, every drop of blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That man has no blood, he has no life. Every drop of blood that fell from the cross was his life being given, leaving him. And while it was leaving, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt that separation from God that we feel. Why was he separated from God? Because God had laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. God had taken our sin and put it on him. And all of a sudden he had to turn his back and let his only begotten son die on the cross with our sins. A little while later he said, it is finished. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. He told his disciples, they're going to go down there, they're going to abuse me, they're going to crucify me, but the third day I'm going to rise again. He says, listen, shall I say that I've come this hour? Shall I not do this? That's what he came to do. He died for the sins of the world. When he died, he took him off the cross. He put him in the tomb. The Bible says the third day he rose again. There's other historians who will vouch for that issue, by the way. He rose again the third day because all our sins were paid for. The wages of sin is death. The penalty was death. Once the penalty was paid, didn't he need to stay dead? Why do people stay dead? Because we can't pay the penalty. Even our righteousness says are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. We try to earn our way to heaven. Well, you ought to know, yeah, but the fact is no one can enter heaven that would defile it. Doesn't take much to defile it. Anybody want a glass? Want a drink out of my glass? No, my wife might, but the fact is, otherwise you probably won't. Why? Because I've defiled it. You don't want it. Now you don't know whether I drank out of this one or not. Looks good. But it's not what we look like on the outside, it's what God knows we are on the inside. And God paid for the sins of the whole world. And we become a new creation in Christ. Now, if you are truly saved and believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, knowing he's paid for everything, then you are also alive in Christ and can begin to live the life of a resurrected person as far as your soul is concerned. We still got to deal with this, but our soul's alive in Christ. Now, how do we know if we have passed from death unto life? We know we have passed from death unto life when the new resurrected life becomes evident in our life. John gives us several indicators of living truly resurrected life. Now, there are some folks who appear to be living in these ways, but that doesn't mean it's true salvation. On the other hand, if you're not seeing these things developing in your life, and you're not a new creation in Christ. And by the way, these things are not things that you work up. These things are things that simply start showing up in your life and say, hey, I don't think I would have done that two years ago, 3 years ago. These are things that are simply fruit that comes from the Spirit of God that you received when you got saved. And if indeed you are truly saved. Now, Ephesians 5:9 says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the Spirit is in you, which meaning you're alive in Christ, and what we're going to start seeing is goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto our Lord. Our lives should, watch, once we're saved, our lives should be a natural demonstration of what God wants. Now for some folks, this is going to be an assuring message because you're going to say, man, I'm glad I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man I want to be and not the man I'm going to be, but hey, I'm not the one I used to be. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about the fact is, listen, there's some folks in this room right now that I know 5 years ago never thought to be sitting here on Easter Sunday morning. They would be home eating candy. They would have slept in first if the kids would have allowed them, and then they'd be eating candy. And God got a hold of their life, and something has changed. Number one, three things real quick here, and a couple little things on the end. Number one, those that are living the resurrected life have been given the Spirit of God. Okay? Those who are really, truly living the resurrected life. If you're alive in Christ, now some people could live they're living the resurrected life, they're just not taking advantage of all that God wants to give them. Remember, it says we know that we're saved, so we know that He hears us. But some people don't bother talking to Him. They're saved and they know it, but they don't spend any time with Him, so they're really not enjoying the resurrected life. You don't have to live like the way we used to. He says, we can have that. But watch, he says, first of all, if you're living the resurrected life, you've been given the Spirit of God. Turn one, might be on the same page, 1 John 4. First, same book, 1 John 4, 7. Look what it says there. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. That means he's saved. And knoweth God. That means he's been spending time with Him. Trying to get to know what God's like. Reading the Bible. Or coming to the church and having it preached to them. And taught and teaching in the Sunday school. And they're hearing it. So forth. He is born of God. Knoweth God. Verse 8. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. If you've got God working in your life, you're going to see love start showing up in your life. That doesn't mean compromise necessarily. That doesn't mean that you don't care what truth is. Remember, it's all in righteousness and goodness and truth. But you're going to do it loving. I mean, you know, the proverbial question your wife asked, does this make me look big? I don't want to use the word fat. And so you could say, you bet it does, girl. Or you could say, well, maybe not as much as, maybe a little, you know. Now you still might make her mad, but you did one in love and one in kind of, you know, kind of like a dig there. And so you still stand for truth. But you got to do it in love. He said something happens. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this, watch, he said, you want to see what love is? Verse 9, in this was manifested or shown the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In other words, the love of God will be manifested in us in similar sacrificial ways if we are truly indwelt with the Spirit of God. Before long, after a while, it's not about me. It's about others. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God. He didn't love us because we were so lovable, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the amends maker, to fix it between us and God. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, those who love do not wait for others to love us before we love them. We love others whether they ever love us. That's how the Spirit of God moves. Listen, if you're waiting for somebody, you're waiting for your spouse to love you before you decide to love them, you're not living the resurrected life. Well, you don't know what they did. I'm just telling you, you know what we did to Jesus? We nailed him to the cross. How many times have we been afraid to even mention his name to somebody? Well, I don't invite them to church, but then they're going to know I'm a Christian. They'll think I'm some kind of fanatic. If I tell you that my wife makes the best lasagna in all the world, you say, well, you must really like your wife's lasagna. Yeah, I do. But you know, you probably wouldn't say, well, he's a fanatic about her lasagna. You say, he likes her lasagna. Listen, there's no better friend than Jesus. Oh, no, got a fanatic. Can I get away? Yes. verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know? No man has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. What's he saying? You're living the resurrected life. When you're seeing love, I mean true, sacrificial, not about me, unconditional love, that's a God love, that's a resurrected love, that's the love that comes from the one who resurrected us. Listen, no one hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected. It's growing in us. Verse 13, hereby, look at it, know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We see Jesus as the Savior that saved us from sin and as the one who saved everyone else as well. We know him. Listen, we know that there's a difference in our life, that we're born of God and that we know God. We have the resurrected life because of love. He has given us of his Spirit. Number two. Those that are living the resurrected life keep the commandments of God. Now, you're going to be perfect? That doesn't give us excuse. But if you're living a resurrected life, you're going to have a very strong desire to keep the commandments of God. And let me go back to what I said before. I'll no longer be what I used to be. Now, I'm not what I should be yet, nor what I'm going to be, but I ain't what I used to be. He who hath begun a good work shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're alive in Christ, you're living a resurrected life, some things are going to change. Now, some of you may like that, might not like this, but I'll tell you this. Watch this. I don't get drunk every Friday night. Now, I slip up about once a month. Now, you laugh at that. I'll tell you what, that's a big deal. I think there's some people, somehow God just gives them deliverance, and they say they can't even stand the smell of it. Amen. But some folks, their heart is in another place, but then their flesh just gets the best of them. Now wait, we can have the washing of the water of the Word. The more we spend time in the Bible, the more we're willing to yield to the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit will give you the power to get over that mess. You don't have to live there. You don't live there at all. But we're all different. Resurrected life doesn't have a temper. Man, I hadn't gotten mad in, 3 months. But man, I just, you know what we do? We kind of let down and kind of forget about it a little bit. Think, I'm good. We let our guard down, and something comes up and blindfolds us and sits us in the back of the head with a 2x4, and all of a sudden we go off like an atomic bomb. And you say, where in the world did that come from? Oh, it's still down in there. But the fact is, it's been the last six, I haven't done that in 6 months. Doesn't make it right. And you ought to go back and ask forgiveness to the person you went off on and the Lord himself. But the fact is, things are changing. Look at 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 1. So first thing is, he's given us of the Spirit of God. If he's given us the Spirit of God, we're going to see a couple things show up. So the first one said, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. By the way, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, faith. Number two, these things are resurrected, keep the commands of God. 1 John 2, 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, wait a minute. He just says, you're children of God, you're my children, and so forth. He says, and of course, we're not supposed to sin. So why is he telling them not to sin? Because there's still the chance they're going to sin. He didn't say, now that you're saved, you don't even have the desire to sin anymore. And this is praise the Lord. He doesn't say that. He says, you're saved. No, you don't have to sin. You got a father. You can, if there's a problem, give it to him. Don't be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4. He says, we know that we've passed from death into life. We know that we're his, and that so we can believe on him, that we can have the petitions that we ask. If God wants to give you peace, I mean, he wants to give you peace. If you ask for peace, I think he'll give it to you if you'll accept it and just put it in his hands. Are you following what I'm saying? And so he's saying there, he says, you have a heavenly father. You have a heavenly father. He said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the one who made it right between us and God. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him. He said, he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He said, hereby we know that you know him. Look at this. If we keep his commandments. Now watch. That word keep means to watch, to guard, to keep an eye on it, to not let them slip away, to not let them escape from us. We keep his commandments. Watch. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And how do we know that we know God? We keep his commandments. You're going to start seeing some things change. Watch this. This is going to sound silly maybe, but the fact is, you don't push those yellow lights as much as you used to. That's not the commandment of God. No, we're supposed to obey the powers that be. If the Holy, I'm serious. God, what you're going to have a, you've got a testimony. And all of a sudden you realize you've got a testimony with those around us. And you're going to, and the breaking the law isn't going to feel as easy as it was, as it once did. You might actually start feeling guilty. I did a whole series of messages, several years ago. So if I'm saved, why do I feel more sinful? Really, if I'm saved, why do I feel more sinful? Because the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, you don't want to do that. Well, I thought that was okay. No, you don't want to do that. Well, let's do that. No, you don't want to do that either. That's not really good. Well, what do you do? Why are you going to do that? Well, I never did that before. Really? The closer you get to the Lord, the more he turns the lights on. And the more he turns the lights on, the more you see your gray hair and your wrinkles. I got one, where is it? Right here. I got a new wrinkle right here. I'm going to look like a mean old man. I'm not sure why I even got that thing. It looks like I frown all the time, and I don't. But I got a new wrinkle right there. It's going to make my whole face going to slide down here after a while here. Turn on the light. You get close to the Lord, you're going to see it. Listen, he that has the light on the inside is going to see things. And if he's alive in Christ and he wants to live the resurrected life, he's going to say, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to change what I know, what I do. Look at verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Wow. It didn't say you're going to be perfect. It did say, though, I'm going to guard. I want to do right. I'm going to do right. I am. And you know what? Over time, you could. Listen, if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You start confessing your sins to keep clean, after a while, you're going to get tired of confessing. And you'll just stop doing. You'll stop confessing. You'll stop committing sins because you're tired of confessing sin. He that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments, a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. It's matured. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You're living a resurrected life. Things are different. How serious are you about obeying God's word? How serious? Now, I know we're in our society. We want to tell you, obey because this will be good for you. Do this and this will be fine. You'll have a wonderful life here. We're still obeying for our sake. Maybe we ought to obey just for God's sake. Maybe we ought to just fear God and let him take care of us. You know, we do what we're supposed to do. He'll take care of us. Leave that in his hands. Listen, you can take it or leave it or easily work around it or explain away the commands of God. You're not keeping the Word of God. I don't do too much of it. No, keep the Word of God. I want to keep it. I want to know what I'm supposed to do, when and how I'm supposed to do it, when I'm supposed to do it, what I'm supposed to do. Listen, if you're not keeping the Word of God, it is because you don't really value the Word of God. And if you're not highly valuing the Word of God, you apparently do not have the Spirit of God in you, because He does. Ephesians 5:9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Those that live the resurrected life see sin as sinful. 1 John 5:18, you're close by. It says, 1 John 5:18, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." 1 John 5:18. "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. That wicked one toucheth him not." If you go back to 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." What's he saying? I want to get my life cleaned up. You want to live the resurrected life? God is pure. He's resurrected. Well, I want to live like that too. I don't want this sin holding me down. I don't want this breaking my family up. I don't want to see this ruin my life. And I would, by the way, I just want to be right so he's happy with me. He purified himself, even if it's pure. Verse 4 said, "Whosoever committeth sin," it means commit sin, "and just living in a life of sin, transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." Does not just go around and sin willy-nilly. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. There we are again. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Listen, if you're living a resurrected, you're born, you're saved, you're living a resurrected life, sin is going to start feeling sinful. And as the Lord starts showing you things, there are going to be things you're going to want to get out of your life, and you're going to purify yourself even as he is pure. Now, I know God is the one who makes us clean, but you're going to surrender. You're going to confess your sins. When you confess your sins, he's faithful and just forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, purify. Verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him." He cannot sin. He cannot just live in that life of sin because he's born of God. "In this the children of God are manifest." This is how we know that they're children of God and the children of the devil. "Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Are you living a resurrected life? Well, if you are, then you have the Spirit of God living through you. If you have the Spirit of God living through you, then you're going to want to keep his commandments. Number 3, those that are living the resurrected life love the brethren. Love the brethren. You know, some folks will say they just can't stand to be around Christians. Well, maybe the ones you're around aren't Christian. Maybe they're only Christian by name only. Maybe they're not living the resurrected life. Maybe you're a little confused. But if all that the Bible and the Spirit's talk gets on your, but if all that Bible and spiritual talk gets on your nerves, then maybe you had better check out and see if you're alive in Christ. There are folks in here that I know that have gotten saved in the last few years, and they just drink it in. They're glad to hear the Word of God. Why? They're alive in Christ. Look at 1 John 3:11. 1 John 3:11. It's getting late, isn't it? 1 John 3:11. Look at this. "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death. Look, we know that we have passed from death unto life. In other words, we're no longer dead in sins and trespasses. We're living the resurrected life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He's not yet resurrected. His soul is not alive yet. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Here we can see the love of God showing up. Why? Where's the love of God from? The Spirit of God. Well, how do you get the Spirit of God? When you get saved. Hereby we know, we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let me say again, why would he even have to write this if there wasn't a problem going on? Christians have issues. We got to yield to him. We got to learn. We got to let the Holy Spirit live through us. So watch me. Those that are living the same resurrected life as other saved people love those other saved people. Love what they believe. Love what they stand for. Love how they live. Love what they love. I'm not saying that you appreciate imposters. Those that are living the resurrected life are not jealous of other Christians. Those that are living the resurrected life do not make excuses for their sin or the way they've hurt somebody. They do not justify their sin. They do not blame others for their hurt. They are glad for the good fortunes of others. And those that are living the resurrected life do not take life nor wish some other person's life was no longer in existence because it makes their life hard. Those that are saved in this love are merciful. Do you realize how much mercy was extended and exercised toward us to save us? And if you don't also extend and exercise mercy toward others, it makes you wonder if you understand the mercy that was extended toward you in order to save you. If you don't understand that, how can you say you know him? You live an unmerciful life. How can you say you've experienced mercy? Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, watch, unmerciful. I didn't hate him. I just didn't give him mercy. He puts unmerciful in the mix of all that mess. How are we living the resurrected life if that's what's in our life? Those that live the resurrected life for their brothers and sisters in Christ, he's watching. Verse 17 there, it says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of mercy, of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So he that is living the resurrected life has been given to God the Spirit. We have his Spirit. We're going to want to keep his commandments. And there's going to be a love, a sweetness amongst the brethren. I think it's one of the reasons our church has the personality that it has. We're not perfect. But we all know we're not perfect. And we're just some sinners telling other sinners not to sin. Some doubters telling other doubters not to doubt. Provoking one another to love and good works. That's why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need one another. But that's only good if we're practicing resurrected life for the most part. Loving our brothers, sisters in Christ. Now, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're living a resurrected life. There's one other thing here you can say. We can assume that God is in our lives when these things are in our lives. 1 John 5:10. Look at it with me. He that believeth on the Son of God, 1 John 5:10, hath the witness in himself. In other words, our lives will show it. Are you saved and you know it? Then your life is surely going to show it. You ever hear that little song? Are you saved and you know it? Say amen. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. That's just not true in just the nursery. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You know that you have eternal life when you see God's resurrected life living out in you. Number five, if we're living a resurrected life, we can be sure that God hears our prayers, and we talked about that. We know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. Verse 15, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We are living the resurrected life if we have God's Spirit in us. Now, if we have God's Spirit in us, we will have a deep and sincere desire to keep the law of God and obey his commands. Now, throw it out. Not make excuses. Not say, well, it's all under grace. If we are living a resurrected life, we will keep the spirit of the law, which is to love others as ourselves. And if we're living the resurrected life, we will see God work in our life by answered prayer. And of course, our prayers are answered because why? Our will is lost in him. Are you living the resurrected life? Let's pray. Father, we had a big day today. But Lord, you've spoken to our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray that now we will speak back to you. May your Spirit move. Heads are bowed and our eyes.